A huge hello to the Broker Playbook Nation from coast to coast in our wonderful country of Canada. I am joined today by a wonderful guest, a mover and a shaker out of British Columbia, Mr. Jamie Schrader. Welcome to Broker's Playbook, my man.
Thanks for having me, Sammy.
It's our pleasure to have you, Jamie. We were introduced to each other by Storm Fletcher, the VP of business development at Richard Robbins International, which is one of the most premier coaching houses for the real estate industry. And Storm has been invaluable to me in both furthering my network with the right people, training and implementing her insight into my business development itself, let alone my real estate practice. Her name is actually Storm, and she is a freaking storm of a woman, funny enough. But I just wanted to kind of preface our conversation as to how the two of us connected and where the relationship between my office and your office going in the future is going to be up to us. But it is imperative to acknowledge the connectors, the people who recognize value in different people and people's skill sets, and putting those two together. Jamie, if you could give our audience a little bit of an introduction to yourself as to kind of how you got into the business, how long you've been in the business, and specifically, you own three Royal LePage offices with hundreds of agents. I would like to know a little bit about your backstory. And then, of course, we're going to talk about how we're going to focus on the senior agent today. I have had a tremendous amount of feedback from senior agents looking for specific insight of scaling, when and how, and best practices on establishing, kind of beating that threshold of 250 plus. So that's kind of where I want to take the conversation today. I definitely want to start with you and your introduction, my man.
Yeah, Simeon, thanks. So I was licensed early. I was licensed when I was 20 years old. I went to the BCIT Commercial Real Estate Program, which is a two-year diploma program. It's kind of the premier real estate program in BC. So a lot of the younger people in the commercial world in BC are graduates of that program. I was fortunate enough to get in despite my lack of ability in school. Made some great connections through that and then entered the industry. I was actually hired by our former broker owner to work directly with him. I started on the property management side and we were managing a small commercial portfolio. I banged out the little industrial deals, little retail deals where you're losing money if you're doing them. Built scale there, did them well, did a bit of a production line model with that. I had good systems. They didn't take me as much time as they did for most other agents. Did a lot of good volume there. And then when I was actually 24 years old, our owner approached four of us at the time who were his top producing agents and said, "You guys can buy me or I'll sell to the competition." And we had no idea what we were doing. So we bought it. I've since bought those three partners out and actually brought my brother in. And then another partner of ours is minority guys in because they're great agents and they know the business really well. And that kind of alludes to the scaling side of things. We've scaled really well on the sales side of our business, but also I needed to scale on the brokerage side. So I brought those two boys in when we bought offices in Chilliwack and Mission this year. So we own, it's the number one broker.
And this is kind of the lower mainland.
So we're a suburb of Vancouver. So we're about 30 minutes outside of Vancouver is where our main office is in Langley. We compete with the big Vancouver offices. So in Metro Vancouver, we're typically number one or number two in dollar volume and transactions, working out of a suburban market. We acquired Chilliwack last year, which was a move to get east from where we are right now as we see the growth coming out of Vancouver, passing through Langley and going out to Chilliwack. So we're about 240 agents in Langley. We've got about 40 in Chilliwack. And then we've just got a little powerhouse brokerage in Mission that we've got some big hitters in a small brokerage, which is a wonderful thing.
Yes.
Yeah. And then my day-to-day, like
if anybody could wave a magic wand for a broker of record, that would be the one.
It is, yeah. And they're quiet too. They're the ones that just bang out the deals, and they call me to have beer, not because they have problems.
That's right.
Yeah,
that's
right. Yeah.
Call to celebrate. Yeah, exactly. And I think, again, that's where we're going today. So I'm so happy to hear of your success and the journey. Of course, it always seems easy when you summarize it, but only you and a select few around you would know the battles, the fears, and all the challenges you faced to get to where you are today. What I want to focus on are the challenges by our biggest segment in the business, in my opinion, that struggles the most is not the new agent. The new agent will always struggle because they're new and they have a huge learning curve. When I mean struggle, and I'm talking about a lot of feedback coming in through our social DMs, emails back, and feedback overall on the show. Feedback from my own team. I have 50 senior brokers running around the GTA, placing us the number one team in volume of transactions across the country. So we're practicing. We're not here to talk from a management perspective, just like you have a practice that you're still selling. We sell real estate, and we sell a lot of it. In my seniors, not so much on my team, because we have the systems in place and we kind of really go hard in preaching it, but in the industry, the guy or gal doing that 200 to 300K a year, to a lot of people, that's a phenomenal success. To a lot of people, that's a great year. To the senior agent, it's the obstacle, and it's kind of the always that brick wall that they can't get past. And the reason they can't get past 300K is because to do 300K a year, I don't care what market you're in, what average price is. And I'm speaking from Toronto and you're in Vancouver. A condo's $1 million. So we're talking about doing 10, 20, 25 transactions a year. That's the average senior consistently.
Yeah.
There's the guys who knock it out of the park with 50 or 100 or whatever the case may be. But for a senior to bang out 15 to 25 deals a year in a market that is saturated with agents, we're talking about 60,000 agents in the GTA, 100,000 in Ontario, but 60,000 in the GTA. And there's 120,000 transactions that happen. So that's an average of two apiece. We all know that it's 80-20. So we know 80% of the market is either part-timers or guys who struggle to put a deal together. So those seniors that are stuck at 300 that could be doing 500,000 or 600,000, what do you believe from your experience is the main reason they can't get past that 300?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I appreciate where you come from on this. I mean, that being a new agent sucks. It does, and it's hard. And before you and I came on this, we were talking about the amount of hours we put into a workday, and you just said 12 hours is what you do, and that's what you expect. And I think there's the gap of when new agents start in the business, the ones that don't do very well just are built differently. They think they can work 5 or 6 hours a day and they'll be successful. So I like the conversation going around the agents that if you're making 300 grand a year as a solo agent, you're working 12 hours a day as a minimum.
Minimum.
So I was in that boat, and I was very fortunate to do that as a very young man, which is fantastic because I had no obligations. I didn't have mouths to feed. I could show up to work hungover and it didn't bother me because I was nice and young. But as I matured through that, I didn't like a lot of the things I was doing in real estate. So and this is what I say to a lot of our agents that get to that cusp of they're going to be successful if they make the right hires, is figure out what you're really good at. And typically what you're really good at, you like. And in real estate, let's say there's 10 things we do on any given day as a realtor. If you're a solo realtor, knock it down to two. Figure out the two things you're the best at, outsource or hire for the other eight. You're going to make a ton more money. You're going to like your life a lot more. And you're going to free yourself to do bigger and better things, whatever that is.
So playing on our strengths, Jamie, is something we hear a lot. And I don't think there's a senior agent that hasn't been in a in a workshop or a seminar where they haven't heard that before. What I want us to bring out of Broker's Playbook today is practical and tactical plays that can be implemented today.
Yeah.
So you hear this today, stop whatever the F you're doing and do this, and a difference will be made in your life.
Yeah.
So to recognize that, to focus on your strengths, you'd be a fool not to. So I love that. Where do you find the common stop happens? Where is that block happen to most agents in your experience?
Yeah, most successful agents think they're better than they are and that they're more important than they are to their clients. So there's a lot of different reasons, but this is the one I find the most common with our agents and in our marketplace anyway, is I can't outsource this. I can't delegate this because I need to do it. You do not need to do it. Absolutely, you do not. And that's typically the stopgap. So tactical or practical takeaway from today, go through your day today, write down everything you do, and then look at it at the end of the day and say, did I need to do that? Does a client care if it was me doing that? Or would it be great if it was an assistant that's fantastic at their job that did that? And if you have anything on your list that you did that somebody else could have done, hire it. Like, go out and hire for that or outsource it. And the beauty of the marketplace we're in right now with virtual help and all of the third-party systems we have available to us, you don't have to hire an assistant for 60 or 70 grand a year tomorrow. You can go out and hire people for an hourly wage or pay a subscription service to get things done.
I have all of the above. So it's very difficult for me every time to have the conversation because it's frustrating. It is a lot of repeat, but people just don't tend to listen. And in this Broker's Playbook, we are going to come up with, we've already started, we're going to build a list with the 10 practices that you do daily. We're not talking to a beginning agent, and we're not talking to the intermediate still building their database. I'm speaking to you, agent, that you have a database of 300 to 500 people. You already email effectively to your database. You already do all the right things, and you're pumping 200 to 300K a year. I'm speaking to you because you're stuck at that number. And the only way to do it is to start replicating yourself. If you are what Jamie just said, saying that I can't have Vanessa do my CMAs because she's not going to use the same analytical profile that I do, and the message will not be the same as if I wrote it. Well, what if I told you that you can train Vanessa on what to look for, and you don't do it when you're bursting at the gills, you do it when you're not. If you're at 200, you're going to do 400 next year by training Vanessa today. If you wait till you're tripping over your feet and can't get out, you'll never train her and she'll quit, because you're going to do a poor job training her, and you're going to create an environment full of mistakes and anxiety. But to train the Vanessa, to train the Shane, the Jason, whoever it is you take on to that team, to take specific things that are mundane, that are time consuming, that would better have you on the road or at Starbucks on your laptop making new connections, or out making calls to builders to get new inventory, or all the things that we do to build business, not doing the CMA, not writing birthday cards, not doing all the things that take up time, effort, and energy, because the assistant, the person that's behind you replicating you, will be trained by you. If you don't want them to send the email, let them write the draft. For 6 months out of the year, make sure that it comes to you before they send it. Unless you hired a doorknob, at this point, they know your style. And you shouldn't need to be proofing it anymore either.
Yeah.
What other components are the easy ones to let go of, Jamie?
Yeah, I'll say that, I'll flip it on you, and I'll say that the two things that I do in a day are very simple. I'm on the phone, or I'm drinking a coffee or a beer. That's all I do. If you ask me to, Simeon, if you called me right now and asked me to list your office building for you, the only thing I'm going to do is show up to the meeting with a package ready to go for you. We'll meet, we'll have the conversation, and then you're going to see me when there's an offer. That's all I'm going to do in that transaction. So everything is off my plate, which allows me to do this. And here's the two sort of paradigm shifts that I think most agents struggle with is bringing people on. You have to get out of the mindset that you're giving something up or you're spending money. If you have that mentality, you're going to fail at it. If you have the mentality that you're investing in your whatever you're doing by adding that component to make more money, run a pro forma on it. So let's speak the language of commercial brokers. Run a pro forma on that assistant. So if I add a $50,000 a year assistant, how am I going to make 100 grand a year off that? If I'm only going to make 40 grand off that 50 grand assistant, I'm not doing it. But you have to build that system and invest in yourself, your team to grow. And that's where most agents that get stuck at that 250, 300 level, they're great salespeople, but they're not good business people. It's hard to connect those two dots. And if you're in that boat where you're a great salesperson, you're cranking out that volume, which is impressive as in still late, hire a coach, hire a business coach, get some consulting help so that you can be good at what you're good at and get them to help build a business around you.
So here comes the playbook, and it is coming exactly as I thought it would. It's coming organic. I want to go back to a comment you made. That was before you spoke about the pro forma. If you have the mindset that you don't want to increase your cost, so let's say I'm sitting at 160,000. It's November. The year wasn't what I thought it would, but it could have easily been a 250 if two would have closed a certain way. As far as I'm concerned, that's still a $250,000 year. You know, you lost the business because of whatever the case. Although we should always be accountable for every move, it is what it is. You're still, but you finished at 160. And you said, I need 40, 50, 60K to put into an assistant. Right off the top, I'm back to 100 after taxes, after coffees, after nonsense. It's not a big year. Do I still invest it? Because you said, if you don't know how to just get a business coach, what would the business coach say? If I finish at $160, let's be real. I'm an agent. I did 160,000.
Yeah.
I'm trying to scale. I could have easily done 250 if a few more things came my way. It's only two or three deals away. So do I still go for it? Is there a metric that you would say, no, unless you're doing 200 or 12 or 14 deals, you don't need it? How do I get to the next level? Who is a business coach and what will they do for my business?
Yeah. So a couple barrels to that answer. Who is a business coach and what can they do? I think it's just very simple. I use a sports analogy that every elite athlete has a coach. And the reason why they have a coach is you're so buried in what you're doing. And if you're one of those senior agents working on your own and that's the volume you're doing, you're elite at what you do in the current position you're in. But if you want to go to the next level and you want to get into the big leagues, you need somebody looking at it from 30,000 feet for you. Almost every successful broker agent that I know has some form of coaching, and it's usually a backboard to bounce things off of, things you might already know, answers to questions you should have, but you need that confidence from somebody else, a third party, to give you that feedback. The other sort of component to this, Simeon, and this is something we train our agents in, is it's wonderful to make seven figures. It's fantastic. We don't have the big teams like Ontario does for the most part. Like our big teams in our market are maybe 10 agents, but some of those teams, the people that are running them, they don't net anything more than some of these solo agents. So what we train our agents on is don't run after a big GCI number. Don't try to make 10 million bucks and hire 100 people to work for you. Work on your net numbers and make sure that you operate it like a business, because your net operating income is the most important thing. And the reason why it is the most important thing is we train this in our office. income generation is fantastic. In realtors, that's our focus. 99% of our day is focused on income generation. But most of us aren't going to be doing this when we're 70 years old. We need to focus on wealth generation at the same time. So running your sales business and doing really well at that is fantastic. But if you're buried in that all day long and you don't get your head above the dirt, you're never going to buy real estate. You're never going to start other businesses. You're never going to invest in yourself because you're just chasing the next deal constantly. So bringing in people to help you gets your head above the sand and allows you to go do other things that create wealth for yourself, which is, in my opinion, more important than income generation.
Well, I personally couldn't agree more. I have a very diversified business portfolio. We're in real estate. I'm also involved in hospitality, as well as a few other ventures, such as building and developing real estate. And we're having a lot of fun doing these things.
Yeah.
To most brokers, well, specifically in my last Friday's team meeting, we presented an opportunity where a developer gave an incentive to brokers to buy there specifically. It was only for brokers, which was a very reduced and spread out deposit structure with a 5% cash back on closing for those who can leverage adjustments. So it is very important to remind, again, especially our seniors, the guys in gal school are able to take advantage of the market and make enough money to be able to invest in it. To have that as a backdrop, because once they start investing, and where I like this as part of this conversation is the fact that you are treating your business as a business at that point. The money you're making are now going into a personal real estate corporation or a PREC. You're paying yourself a salary so you're not overspending on nonsense, yeah. Keeping your taxes in check. And loaning yourself funds to do an investment property out of the PREC. So there's a lot of things that once you start implementing business systems, and maybe this is going back to the business coaching. I do want you to go back to that in a few minutes. But the point that I'm trying to make is maybe there is an entire mindset shift that needs to happen at more than just delegation and hiring an assistant. It's the overall feel and look of your business. And maybe the question we should be asking is, where do you want to go? Are you happy where you are running on the hamster wheel? Or do you want to implement steps to allow you to get your head out of the sand, as you said a second ago, to be able to make moves for yourself and business development that'll take you to 500 and 600 and 800,000 a year?
Yeah.
What kind of questions should we be asking ourselves as seniors brokers, as senior brokers?
Yeah, the first would be like, what do you want your day to look like? And this is, it's funny. We plan everybody, again, if you're a senior broker, you're doing business planning. You're setting targets, you're running your metrics. You should be good at that. You're doing that kind of volume. Most people are at that volume. But a lot of senior brokers don't look like in 5 years, do you still want to be answering a phone call on a Sunday morning at 8 o'clock? I don't like, and Simi, this is I'm very proud of this. Like my phone is off at 4 o'clock every day. I don't work weekends because that's how I wanted this design to work. I've got a young family. They're the most important thing to me. Work is way down that list right now. And I recognize that moving forward, that I built this business around what I wanted my life to look like, not chasing some number. Because, and you've probably done this too, where you have this in your brain, you want to make 100 grand in your first year, then you want to make five, then you want to make a million, then you want to make 5 million. There's always another number. There's always another thing to hit. And if you keep chasing that, I can assure you, I'll say this 9 times out of 10, you're not going to be happy when you hit that number. It's great. You're going to go out for a nice dinner. You're going to open a bottle of champagne, celebrate it for one night. And then the next day it's, well, holy shit, I got to hit 6 million, 8 million, 10 million. But if you wake up every single day knowing that you're doing what you want to do and your day is designed the way you want and you have the ability, the time to do the things you really enjoy, it's just a shift. And work isn't a stress or too much of a challenge because you enjoy the process. And by all means, set those targets like we do internally. Like I sell a lot of real estate. We set those targets. They're fun, but I enjoy the process to get there, not just getting there.
I like that a lot, my man. I think I want to find a way to summarize some of these thoughts. The conversation, as always, goes into tangents because one comment leads to another. And I do want to be able to leave a focused playbook behind with steps that somebody who resonates with this class of realtor, you should be very easily be able to recognize yourself if you are a senior broker doing the right things. And if your last 3 years have been within $30,000 of each other, you are stuck, whether it's by design or by doing the wrong things. By design would mean you've made a conscious decision to stop working when you hit a specific number and or deal count, which is beautiful and amazing if that's what you chose to do. But if you're busting your ass and you just can't seem to get out of your own way, I think that's what this playbook is about.
Yeah.
And that is to be able to recognize what things you're good at. I think you need to be able to recognize the things you can easily delegate that are going to free up the most time. Jamie, what are the signs what is the best way for someone to identify which tasks? I know this is a tough question because it's so individual. Mm-hmm. But what question perhaps can someone ask themselves? Is it what am I good at, or is it what takes up the majority of my time that's not income producing?
I think both good questions are both good directions. And if you're doing good volume, 90% of your time, if you're a solo agent, 90% of your time is bullshit. You're not doing anything that is of any value to your business. There's 10% of your time that is very valuable from an income producing point of view. And that is on the phone, in front of clients, doing transactions. So get all of the other stuff out of the way. And if that isn't what you're really good at, like if the phone calls and the in-person client meetings aren't what you're really good at, good on you for being as successful as you are, but probably join a team where you've got somebody that is a bit more extroverted and can go out and bang out those deals. Because that's another component of this conversation is, if there's a lot of things that you're not good at, and you're as successful as you are, maybe you should go join a team and add complementary skill sets and expand the pie of your business.
I love that. Again, you're recognizing, you have to have a mindset shift to recognize and let go. I think from a practical and tactical playbook standpoint, if you've been in this business 5 years plus, you have to be able at this point to look at yourself in the mirror and recognize your strong points and your weak points. Delegate anything that you're weak at. Try to find either an assistant or partner up with a more junior agent that has as much to benefit of your success as his own, meaning that you're not going to be the ugly sister to anyone, and you're going to be able to get their attention and get the activities done in order to be able to scale and get in front of more people at the listing table and or the negotiation table. What's your thoughts on buyer agents bringing on a junior buyer agent to do showings?
Yeah, again, if that's what you're trying to outsource, and it's kind of funny, the market we're in right now, and the GTA is the same as it is in the Lower Mainland right now, you're showing one house at a time. Like when I first started, I did some residential business. You go out on a buyer tour and you're showing 8 houses to one buyer. You're going to Tim Hortons between meetings and then you're going to show another 8 houses. Like that was showing houses. Now you're going to one house and you're writing one offer. So buyer's agents, in my opinion, aren't as valuable as they used to be. That being said, like we've got, so one of our guys in our office who's been in the business almost as many years as I've been on this planet, he loves buyers. So he's been, I won't say his name, but he's national chair, the same level as you and I are, Simeon. And he has been forever with one assistant and one other agent that helps him out every once in a while.
What a monster. Because
he loves buyers. So there's an example of knowing what you're good at, knowing what you like, and he loves showing buyers houses. So he does that and enjoys his job more.
He enjoys closing. That's why. He's addicted to closing.
Yeah, and that's a very good point. And he enjoys being around people and showing houses. It's just, that's his day. But that does kind of tie into this whole conversation at a higher level. Like, if you asked him what his perfect day is, it's showing buyers around all day. So that's what he does. And I think a lot of agents overlook this portion. Like, you think you just need to put your head down and life needs to be miserable because you're a salesperson and you have to work 16 hours a day and your wife's going to hate you and you're never going to see your kids' hockey practice. Like, it doesn't have to be. And if you sit down, and this is the hard part, if you're busy, is taking the time to actually sit and do this with your spouse or your kids, if they're in the picture. What was the best day you've had this year? Like, what did it look like? Work day, personal day, like, map that out. And then how do you do that more frequently? And the more frequently might be once a month at the start. Like, I need to, because the best day was I went to the park with my kid and I showed a house. That was a great day for me. I remember that day. Make sure that happens once a month at first, then once a week, and then make sure it happens every day, that you block off all of these things that you want to do. Draw that playbook, draw that map out, what it looks like, and then just start filling in the pieces. Figure out what you need to add to make sure that that happens as frequently as possible.
I'm loving this. Jamie, what are the attributes of a great assistant? And maybe what I will do, my assistant, her name is Vanessa Lee. She actually has a background in recruiting and headhunting. And we actually had promised to put together a job description. And maybe Van will put that out over the next week or so to get it out with this very podcast recording. Jamie, give me your thoughts on what a job description for an assistant to a senior broker should look like, and what are the attributes they need to have?
Yeah, so this is, again, another big hurdle that a lot of age brokers have when they get to this point. They look for a quick answer to this. They're trying to find a job description that somebody else has, because that must be better than the one they can create.
Right.
What I suggest is take a framework. So if Van sends that out as part of this podcast, awesome. But do not take that job description and just advertise it.
Got it.
Go through it, build it for what you need. The attribute of my assistant is, or attributes of my assistant are probably different than yours, Simeon. And it's how you train them and the time you have to train them. Because, and we see this all too often, is agents will bring in junior realtors or assistants, and then they're gone in 3 months because they didn't train them.
Of course.
They were too busy. They, like, that's a common thread. You need to spend time on your assistant. If you fail hiring an assistant, it is entirely your fault. It has nothing to do with that assistant. So build the job description based on what you need.
So maybe we take that step you said a second ago when you said, what did your perfect day look like? Bring that in once a month, once a week. Yeah. So if you had a great day with the kids at the park and doing a couple of showings in the morning, so the assistant needs to handle what? Scheduling for the morning? They need to handle being able to defer and deflect as necessary in order to not compromise the business relationship. So you need a communications expert that you train on how to speak to your clients. So when you were saying the one size fits all description doesn't work, it's exactly why it doesn't work, because we all have different goals. So the assistant function would be different in each case.
Yeah.
So I think what we can do then is we can definitely come up with a job description with the basic attributes any assistant needs to have. And then keep in mind, maybe on the same document, we put a general assistant qualification, but on the bottom, your assistant qualification. And that meaning, what are your goals? What are you trying to accomplish by getting an assistant? Is it more business? Is it more time with a family? Because somebody might need to cover your phone after 4 p.m. when you turn it off.
Exactly. Exactly. And that might be different for you, because Simeon, you might like to work until 10 o'clock at night.
And I do.
And you'll give your assistant that time off, which unequivocally, I'm not answering my phone. So somebody else needs to do that. So my job description is going to be very different than yours. There will be a lot of similarities, but
yes.
Yeah, you need to tailor it. That's a great point. Yeah.
Okay, well, I love that, and I love where we've gone with this interview. Jamie, I want to wish you buckets and boatloads of success and continued success. I do want to wrap this up to keep these podcasts kind of within that 30-minute corridor. Our listeners and our audience are our brothers and sisters in the business who are between showings, between appointments, and that's where they're able to gain their value from. So I do hope that every single one of you that heard this was able to resonate with one or two of the points. To all our junior and intermediate colleagues out there, please remember to stay focused, to always cover the basics, which is make your calls, grow your network, keep investing in yourself, because you are the best investment you can make. To our seniors, to our senior brokers who joined us today, remember you're taking advice from Jamie Schrader. Again, a top-notch chairman level producer and broker owner out in Vancouver area in the Lower Mainland with offices in Chilliwack, Mission, and Langley. If you're ever out there, by all means, go hit him up. You can find him on his socials via brokerplaybook.com. And always take a moment to follow us, comment, and engage with us. Let us know what's on your mind and how we can bring more value to you. If anyone has any questions for Jamie, feel free to hit him up on all his socials. And of course, you can reach him through our office as well. And he will get back to you at the earliest with any value that you need. Jamie, my man, thank you so much for joining me on Broker's Playbook. You have yourself a wonderful day, my dude.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate you, Simeon.
We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks.